So grateful, as you've heard through music tonight, as you've heard through kids' voices tonight, as you heard through Spurgeon tonight, God with us. The Emmanuel, we have been talking about how could we describe Christmas in two words. I believe one way that you could do that is through these two words put together, with us. That Christmas is about God sending his son. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, the only son from the Father, God with us. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about what does it mean for God to be with us, and just some of the phrases that we've used. We've looked at Joseph's life. We looked at Mary's life. We looked at the shepherd's life and how God was with them, how he brought clarity into their chaos, how he brought calm into a commotion, how he brings conviction, even when there's cynicism. We talked about all of these different C words. We'll put a few up here on the screen. You can go back and watch some of these sermons if you want, but we talked about how he gives us confidence in the calling, all of these different things that God does just by his presence being with us. We talked about this morning how the shepherds really teach us something about how God is with us in the mundane, how God is with us in the regular, ordinary deal of life, how every day he's committed to being with us, whether we're committed to being with him. Amen? Isn't that good news that God is with us? And here's the reality statement that's going to lead us into this message tonight. It's not going to be a long message, but I pray that it will be an encouraging message to every single person in the room and online. This reality statement, God with us is a reality to experience, not just a statement to read. Friend, I don't want you to leave here and think, oh yeah, Emmanuel, that means God with us. I heard that in a song, or I read that in a book, or I even know that's in the Bible somewhere, but I want that to be your life. God with me. And it becomes who you are, and it becomes a relationship, not a religion. Amen? A religion is you doing stuff for God, crossing your fingers, hoping he's up there somewhere, and one day might show you grace. That's not what we believe here, and then we don't believe that's what the Bible preaches. The Bible preaches that we couldn't do enough to earn right standing before God. And so God did what we couldn't do. God sent his son to live the perfect, sinless life that we couldn't, and then to die the death of sinners that we deserved, and then ultimately would rise from the grave that we would stay buried in, defeating death, hell, and Satan. So we find our hope in the God who is with us. Amen? Come on, we can clap for that good news. That's the good news. The reason for the season, that Jesus didn't just come to stay a baby, although I'm sure he was a beautiful baby. But he came to grow, he came to live, he came to die, he came to rise. And so tonight, I just want to talk for a few minutes on the why behind the with. So we know that God is with us. Maybe you would say today, you're sufficiently inspired. You believe what the Bible is saying. You believe what we've been talking about. You believe God is with us. But have you ever thought, why is God with us? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, the why behind the with. So I get it that God is with us, but why is he with us? This doesn't make any sense. We fallen, sinful human beings, oftentimes, we talked about it earlier, we give God the silent treatment. He's with us, but we don't acknowledge him like we should. And yet he remains. So why is God with us? I want to give three ideas. Let me jump back into some C words here tonight that hopefully you can write down and that you can leave with and apply in your own life. Number one, God with us because he cares for us. Amen? The word amen just means, yeah, I agree with that. Come on, let me try that again. God with us because he cares for us. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful that God is with us and he's not mad at us. Amen. That God is with us and he's not struggling like, hurry up already. But God is with us and he cares about us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, one that I've committed to memory and one that I visit often, is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Let's look at this together. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says it like this. It says, be alert, and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. This is good, verse 8. I was looking for verse 7. I had it wrong in my head. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We have it somewhere. But 1 Peter 5, verse 7, here's what it says. It says that God cares for us. That's what it says. And then verse 8 says that we should be watchful because the devil doesn't care about us, right? He's actually looking to devour us. So 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says that we should cast all our anxieties onto God because he cares for us. Amen? I think that's such a helpful word for us to hear, that God even requests our anxieties. You ever had somebody call you and you're like, oh, this is about to be an hour-long phone call because this person has a lot of anxiety. God says, yeah, call me. Bring it to me. And maybe you would say, why? And the answer would be, because I care for you. I was praying and I was listening. I was asking the Lord, why are you with us? And I felt like I heard a soft, still whisper from above. I'm with you because I care about you. I'm grateful that God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we can cast our anxieties on him. The word cast means throw it off, right? Take it and just throw it to him. Cast it onto him. Why? Because he cares for us. There goes the verse. Come on, say it with me off the screen. Are you ready? Set, go. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Hey, let's give it up for our tech team in the back. They're always working hard. Sometimes I say the wrong reference and they help me out. But this is the verse I was looking for. But maybe God wanted us to see verse 8 too. Watch out for the devil. Because he's prowling around looking for someone to devour. So it doesn't just stop. Cast all your anxiety on him. Do that for sure. And then also be aware and be watchful and be focused. And it says even be of sober mind so that you can be alert and you can see and you can recognize, man, God with us. What does it mean for God to care for us? Let me define the word care. We'll look at the Oxford definition. The word care is the provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. Come on. Can somebody amen the definition? When I say that God cares for us, here's what I mean. God is looking out for our provision. God is looking out for what is necessary for our health, welfare, maintenance, protection of us here today. God's with us because he cares for us. And I don't want us to miss that. Friend, don't miss the love that's found in Christmas. The love of the Father to send his son so you can know that he cares for you. Have you ever heard somebody say this phrase? Nobody cares about how much you know until they know about how much you care. Amen? I want you to know this, that God cares about you a lot. How much does he care about you? Enough to send his own flesh, his own son, Christ born in a manger, would die on a tree, would be buried in the grave, and do it all because he cares for you. Not only does he love you, but he cares about you. Maybe you would say, man, who cares? Can I just say, God cares. God cares. So today, if you came in here today and you said, you know what, I made it to church tonight, but nobody cares. God does. You're not here alone because he's with you, and you're not here on accident. God cares. Not only does God care, but God with us because God covers us. Can I get an amen from for that reality? Is anybody covered by the blood of Jesus? Right? What can wash away my sin? Nothing. It's not going to be another present under the tree. It's not going to be a bank account. It's not going to be a stat on a sheet. It's not going to be a spouse. It's not going to be kids. It's not going to be a bunch of do's and don'ts in a checklist. The only thing that can cover you, my friend, is Christ. God is with us because he covers us. Let me show it to you in the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Amen. Matthew 1, 21. Let's look at it together. This is when Joseph is having a dream on whether or not he's going to stay in the relationship with Mary. Matthew 1:21. The angel appears to Joseph in the dream. Come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What did Jesus come to do? The angel says, he didn't come just to be cute. He didn't come just to give us a holiday, a holy day. He didn't come just so that we could put presents under the tree. He came to die on a tree. Come on, Jesus didn't just come because he cares about us. He came because he covers us. I love how Jesus is, he's actually the fulfillment of the prophetic words that were taking place and the action that was taking place in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you find Adam and Eve, and they commit the first ever sin. And in their rebellion toward God, there's this terrible moment where they eat from the tree that God told them not to. They could have ate from any other tree in the garden, and Adam not being focused and Eve being tempted and deceived. And next thing you know, sin is birthed into the world. And what happens next? You find Adam blaming Eve, and then Eve blaming Adam, and then Eve saying, no, it was the serpent. And the serpent's gone. The serpent's laughing, saying, I got you. And next thing you know, Adam recognizes he's naked for the first time and he feels ashamed. And then Eve begins to cover her body because she's naked and she is ashamed. When just the chapter before, they were naked and unashamed. They were together and they would even walk in the cool of the day with the Lord himself and were perfect fellowship with one another. And then sin broke that fellowship. But even then, what does God do? Genesis chapter 3, we find in verse 21. It says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Can I just tell you that even in their sin, God still clothed them. My second point, I debated between the word covered and the word clothed. Both work, amen? God with us because he clothes us. God with us because he covers us. What does God do for Adam and his wife here? He covers them. He covers their shame. In fact, the first ever sin offering happens right here in the book of Genesis when God, he clothes them and covers their nakedness and covers even their shame with skins from an animal. An offering happens in that moment in the garden. But what is that? That's a shadow of what Jesus would do for us. This right here is pointing to an even better Savior, the seed that would one day crush the enemy's head. And that seed would be found in the manger. Christ came not just because he cares for us, but I think he came for more than that. He came to cover us. I love what Paul writes to his young disciple, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Such a profound statement here. The text says that this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Come on, amen? What Paul's saying right here, if there's ever a trustworthy statement, this is it. What's the statement? That Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. And Paul says, whom I'm the foremost. What's the why behind the who? What's the why behind the with? I get that God's with us, but why? Well, here's why. To save you. Why does he want to save you? Well, because he cares for you. I'm so grateful that we have a Savior who covers us, clothes us, and cleanses us. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if I can just give you one more verse. Scripture teaches us like this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. Come on, somebody say this A word with me. All. Cleanses us from all sin. Why did Jesus come? Why is God with us? He came to cleanse us. He came to cover us. He came to clothe us. He came to care for us. Come on. Anybody thankful for the Savior? The last thing that I would want to do is just encourage you with some motivation tonight. I want to motivate you to remember the Savior. That's why we say, oh, come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy. God and sinners reconciled. Where we were once on the wrong side of the field. Come on. We were enemies with God, hostile toward God, and yet God in his grace sends his son because he cares for us, because it could only be him who could actually cover our sin. Amen. Let me give you the final point. I pray that this is a good reminder, not just the with, but the why. The why is important. Come on, motivation matters. Amen. I'm not sure why you're here tonight, but my prayer is that you're here because you want to grow closer to the Lord, because you want to remember what He has done for us, because you're here to celebrate the Savior. The word why is, I think it's an important word. It's a good question to ask. I remember reading a book by an author named Simon Sinek. He wrote a leadership book called Start With Why. And one of the things he says in this book, we'll put this quote up here on the screen. Simon Sinek says, there are only two ways to influence human behavior. You can manipulate it or you can inspire it. Very few people or companies can clearly articulate why they do what they do. By why, I mean your purpose, cause, or belief. Why does your company exist, he writes. He continues on and says, why do you get out of bed every morning? Why should anyone care? People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. What I want to encourage you with here today is why Jesus came to be with us. He came to be with us to care for us. He came to be with us to cover us. But can I give you the last and final one? He came to be with us to complete us. So good, amen. If you are single here today, I pray 2024 is your year. Come on. But can I just tell you, if you find that special person, they won't complete you. Even as beautiful as the moment on Jerry Maguire is when he says, you complete me. It's a good movie scene, but it's bad theology. Only the Lord can complete you. Only the Lord can make you whole again. Only the Lord, only a perfect one from heaven can bring completion to your life. Let me define the word complete. The word complete by definition just means simply this: to make something or someone whole, perfect. Who can do that but a perfect God? God with us came to complete us. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll find God getting his people's attention, but not in this necessarily same way, right? How does God get people's attention? Well, he says, okay, I'll just send a flood and it won't stop raining and maybe I'll get your attention that way. And he does get people's attention, but as the earth repopulates, people are sinful and wicked, and next thing you know, God sends prophets into the land. And prophets are trying to proclaim the love of God and trying to call people to repentance, but people aren't listening. In fact, they're killing the prophets off. And the next thing you know, God raises up judges to judge the land. And next thing you know, people aren't listening. They're rebelling against the judges. And then God says, okay, well, let's see. The people ask for a king. God raises up kings like Saul and David and Solomon, and these kings are coming into light, but people aren't listening to the kings, even though they thought they would. And so finally, what does God do? God says, okay, I got a different plan. I'll send my son. And my son will be humble and born in a manger of a virgin in Bethlehem. Do you know the word Bethlehem, defined as the place where you go get bread? Jesus, the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, comes to save us, comes to cover us, comes to care for us, and friend, comes to make us whole again. Sin has fractured us. Can I get an agreement on that? Sin has broken our fellowship with God, and sin has broken our joy. Sin has broken our peace. Sin has invited all types of struggle and shame into the world. And Jesus said, I came to complete you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. One more verse. Be reminded of this tonight. Maybe this is your first time in church in a long time. God loves you. He cares that you're here. God said in the very beginning of all creation, God said, let us make man in our image. The us and the hour. Who's God talking to? I think in eternity past, God is talking to his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, triune in perfect unity. And they say, we got a brilliant idea. Let us person in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God says, let us make man in our image. So it's only a perfect God who can complete his perfect creation that has been broken by sin. And so Jesus, the sinless one, steps in, and Jesus lives the life that we have failed to live. And Jesus, he does bear our sin on that cross, and he leaves all of it in that tomb. And as he rises forth, he says, all who come to me, all who now call on me, all who believe in me will be forgiven of their sins, saved and made whole, made new. A place in eternity is secured for them, and I will be with you on earth all the way till you get there. My Holy Spirit will secure you, seal you, and no enemy will ever pluck you out of his hand. Jesus came to make us whole. So you can't look for somebody else to complete you, but God himself. But isn't it good news that he wants to do that for us? And he died to do that for us. Tonight, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of faith with me. If you've never received Jesus as the one who completes you, covers you, and cares for you, I want to invite you to do that with me right now. Let's pray. With all heads bowed and with all eyes closed, and maybe you're already a believer and follower of Jesus and you know him as Savior, this is an awesome moment to celebrate. This is a good moment to rejoice. Would you pray with me right now and just say, Lord, maybe this is your first time. Just say, God, I hear your voice. I sense your spirit. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're coming again. And right this moment, I receive you by faith. I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. It's no longer I who live. It's now Christ who lives in me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for completing my heart. God, I love you. I trust you, and I'll follow you all my days. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on now.